Father, we come to you tonight, and I'm just thankful for this opportunity to be in your house and to gather with my friends and my family and to worship you and to lift up your name. And God, great is your faithfulness. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Lord, may you speak into us tonight, and may it change us, Lord. Let us be more like you. And God, I pray for those that are sick today. I know there's several that need a touch from you, and Lord, I pray for them today. I can't list all the names. I'll forget somebody, but God, you haven't. You never forget us. You always know where we're at, and you know what we need. And so tonight, God, we just lift up those that are sick. I pray for your divine healing to reach down and speak into their bodies. And Lord, that you would move upon us as your congregation tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just... Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves and we say, pour into us. We need an encounter with you, God. Father, if they came to see me, they've wasted their time. But God, if they come to see you, if they come to meet you in this place, if they come to touch you, God, and let you touch them, Lord, we can be changed. And so tonight I pray for an encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about when you can't see him. Has anybody ever been there? Is there anybody there tonight? I know God is real. I've talked to him time and time again, but I still can't see him in my situation tonight. I've been there so many times. And so tonight I want to talk to you for just a few moments. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and there's a lots of them. But we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, and then later I'll expound and read some more. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 24 and verse 25 says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar," which aren't you glad that your name wasn't Nebuchadnezzar? Can you imagine being in kindergarten and them saying, "All right, spell your name"? I'd still be in kindergarten. I'd still be... Still be trying to spell it, right, Frank? All right. So he says, I have too much fun sometimes. I'm sorry. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Wow. You see, these are some of the greatest stories in the Bible are about deliverance. You know, they're the stories that are really familiar to us, like the story of David and Goliath. I kind of talked about that last week. Daniel in the lion's den. Moses parting the Red Sea and how he delivered the children of Israel. We see also in our story today the three Hebrew boys and how he delivered them. And, you know, we know these stories by memory, most of us, and we've heard them hundreds of times. And the greatest truths in them are self-evident to us. Like, we serve a God who delivers his people, who makes a way when there seems to be no way. We've learned through these stories that if you stand fast in your faith or firm in your faith and put your trust in him and you refuse to back down from his promise, he will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And these stories seem like they're real familiar to us, but however... Not too long ago when I was reading my Bible, I seen something in one of these stories that I've never seen before. And so over the next few moments, I just want to take you on a journey and let's explore together the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Rack, Shack, and Benny if you're a VeggieTales person. Okay. How many grew up watching VeggieTales? Whoop, whoop. Rack, Shack, and Benny, I tell you, they were very good, weren't they? All right. But now most of us would say that this story starts when Nebuchadnezzar decides to build this golden image. He decides that he's going to build this golden image. And you know, I was trying to find today, I thought, because, you know, a lot of people think that this image was of himself. And then as I was reading and studying and looking, that most scholars feel like it was the Egyptian god Amun. And so we don't really know what the statue was. We do know it was of a person. It speaks in there that it was of a person. And so he built this towering image, and then he demands that everybody worships it. But that's not really where our story starts. Our story really starts back in chapter 2, in Daniel chapter 2. It's about 10 years earlier when the king had this dream. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and none of his wise men, they couldn't interpret it for him. And as a matter of fact, Nebuchadnezzar was so worried about them just making up something that he told them this time, he said, look, you know what I need you to do? I need you to bring all the wise men, all the magicians, all the soothsayers, and I want them to come. And instead of them just filling me full of lies this time, I want them to tell me what I dreamed and then tell me what it means. Because in the past, he had been telling them, hey, I had this dream about eating pizza late or whatever, you know, and they would interpret what that meant. Well, he was so worried about them lying to him, so this time he decides, you know what I'm going to do? I want you to tell me the dream, and then I want you to interpret it. And so he told the guys, he gathered them all around, and he said, look, he said, I need you to tell me what I dreamed. Somebody, tell me what I dreamed, and then what it means. If not, you're all dead. Wow. Okay, so this king, he's serious about his dreaming, isn't he? Okay. So the problem that we see here is that Daniel had a reputation of being a wise man and could interpret dreams. And so when they were putting out the word for all these people to come and tell what the dream meant, they were also calling Daniel. And whenever he made the threat about killing him, it also meant that Daniel would die. Okay, and so Daniel, when they came to find him and to see if he could do it and put him to death, he said, whoa, slow down, wait a minute. You know, Daniel's thinking, I need some time to pray about this. And I love that, because isn't that what we need sometimes when we find ourselves in a situation? We need to take some advice from Daniel and just slow down a minute and say, whoa, I need to talk to God about this. I need to ask God about this. And that's what he did. He said, tell the king that I've requested a little bit of time to pray about this so that I might interpret the dream. And he did. And he prayed and God revealed the dream, both the dream and the interpretation Daniel received. And in his dream, Nebuchadnezzar had seen a figure of a man. And that it was a giant statue in his dream, okay? And this ain't the one that he built. This is the dream 10 years earlier, okay? So he sees this dream, and he has a vision of this great big statue. And it says that it was comprised of different precious metals. And so I looked all of these up, and this may just be, you know, dry talk to you, but things like this interest me. The figurehead of it was made of gold, the scripture says, and the breast and the arms were made of silver. So from about here all the way down to his arms, those were made of silver. And the middle portion was made of bronze. The legs were made of iron. And the feet and the toes were of iron mixed with clay. Okay? And so Daniel told the king that the image represented different kingdoms that would rise and fall. The golden head was Babylon, which represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar was the king over Babylon, okay, over Babylon. And so it represented the height and the glory of achievement that he had done. And so the golden head represented Nebuchadnezzar. But now the silver, which was the arms and the breast, that would represent a less glorious but a stronger kingdom than what Nebuchadnezzar had, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar had a beautiful kingdom, lots of riches, but he wasn't very strong, okay? His army just wasn't that great. And so a silver would represent the less glorious but a stronger kingdom, which we can see as we read the scriptures. It was revealed as the Medes and the Persians, all right? And then the kingdom that would, that kingdom, the Medes and the Persians, it would give away to the bronze, which is the middle part. The kingdom of the bronze, if you look at the history on it, it's going to reveal to be the Greeks. But then not only the Greeks came along, after them, the Roman Empire came, and they represent the iron legs. And they were the most corrupt and the strongest of all the empires in that time. And at the end of the dream that he had, there was a massive statue there of all of this stuff. But at the end of the dream, there was a rock that had, which represents Jesus Christ, okay? I'm trying to set this up for you. And that rock crushed the statue, and then it became a great mountain. The rock did, it says. But the ashes and the rubble from this statue, the scripture says that it blew away and covered the ends of the earth. And that represents God's kingdom. So here's the thing. Nebuchadnezzar was probably flattered when you think about it. He was probably excited. Man, I'm the head. I'm the gold. You know, because that's what he was about. He was all about the riches. And so it was probably one of the things that really flattered him. But then of all the kingdoms of the men in terms of glory and riches, but it was also very concerning to him that he had heard what was coming next. He didn't like it that he was being told that his kingdom would one day fall. His kingdom was going to be wiped away and others would rise up in its place. And as a matter of fact, over time, his wicked heart, as he began to rebel against God, we see that it says in there that he turned against God, and he became more and more determined that his kingdom would not fall, even though God had showed him in this dream that his kingdom was going to fall. But that's where he was trying so hard to make sure that it would never fall. And so this is the beginning of our story now. We're caught up to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's story. And the king, he decided to defy the word of God, and he built this idol. So he built this statue, and it was made of gold. And, you know, from everything you read, it was just magnificent. It was 9 stories tall. So 9 stories tall is about 97 feet tall. So this thing was 97 feet tall. The base of it was about 9 feet wide. And it towered over everything. It was huge. And when it was finished, King Nebuchadnezzar set it up on the plain of Dura. And he demanded that everyone come and worship it. And so under the influence of the Babylonian Empire, he told everyone, I need you to come and worship this thing. And so every tongue, every nation, every race in the plain of Dura came. And when they played music, they bent their knees and they bowed down with their allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar and his defiance to God. Everyone bowed down except for the 3 Hebrew boys, right? We know that in our story. Now, here's the thing. The crowd was so massive, it was so big at the time that initially, it wasn't very apparent that the 3 Hebrew boys didn't bow down. The king didn't even know it because there's so many people. But the Chaldeans, which were some of the other wise men that were called in to interpret the dream, of course, they're jealous of Daniel. They've been upset with Daniel and the Hebrew boys for a while, and so they go to King Nebuchadnezzar and they tell him, "Hey, those 3 Hebrew boys, they refused to bow down whenever you played that music." So the king, in his anger, he decides what he's going to do is he says, "You know what? Bring them here. I want to see this for myself." And he says, so they're going to play the music again. He tells them, he says, look, we're going to play this music again. And if you'll bow down and you'll worship me or worship my idol at that time, everything's going to be good. But if you don't, I've got a fiery furnace right here. And I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace if you don't do it. And so what they were doing is they were having to make a stand and hold on to the promise of God. And they weren't going to bow down to this idol. And so I want you to see, it's one thing to defy the king whenever you don't think he's looking. But whenever he calls you into his presence and then he says, defy me or you die, that's a whole nother level, isn't it? And so it was an entirely different thing to stand in his presence right there next to that fiery furnace and defy what he demanded. And so you think about it, you think, you know what? Is it really that important? I mean, this is an idol built by an arrogant king. It's just a golden statue. It's not even real. What is it going to matter if I just bow down? Nobody will really think too bad of me. And they could even be like one time Shelley's brother got in trouble I think his mom had told him to sit down he didn't really want to. She said, you better sit down. And so he sat down and he looked at her. And he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, Maybe that's what the three Hebrew boys were thinking. You know, I mean, what if they'd have thought that? It's like, you know what? I'll bow down, but I might be bowing, but I'm standing up on the inside, you know. You couldn't blame them if they gave in to such extreme pressure. I mean, who would care, you know? After all, they could simply say that they were doing what they had to do to stay alive. Nobody would hold that against them. But these three Hebrew boys had one thing settled in their heart. And it was a commandment of old that their mama had taught them, probably. And they were just little boys, and they refused to back down from it. And their mama probably taught them that, you know, you can't worship any false idols, you know. And so it was a part of their identity. We worship the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they said. And there's no other God beside him. And so they knew that. Their mama had put it in them. And they said, I'll not bend my knee to any graven image. And I won't give my worship or my allegiance to any other thing. So these three Hebrew boys right there in front of the king, they defied the king. And you know the story well, but I want to read it to you right from the scripture. And I'm going to read to you from Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 through 18, okay? It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, I can't even say it, let alone spell it. Then Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psalter, in symphony with all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is God? Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. And man, I'm telling you, this outraged the king so much that he decided, instead of just throwing him into the fiery furnace, I want it seven times hotter than it has ever been. And so he calls for the strong men of his army, and he says, I want you guys to come and bind them up really good, and you're going to throw them into the fiery furnace. And we all know from the story that it was so hot that even the men that threw them in were killed by the heat when they opened up the doors. And so you've heard the story of how it was so hot and that it killed them. But then the miraculous thing happened. We read it in the text that I started with. The king was so astonished when he got up from where he was sitting so that he could see better. You see, the king got up and he came and he tried to look down into the fiery furnace so he could see better. But what he expected to see was the end of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He thought that he would look in there and that they would be dead and burned up, but that's not what he saw at all. What he saw instead was four men in the fire, free from their bonds and the fire, not even consuming them or burning them up. The Bible says that they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. So now here's the thing that I never seen in this story before until recently. And as a matter of fact, the king asked his advisors, whenever we look at this, didn't we throw three men into the fire? And you would think that if they saw the same thing the king saw, that they would be acknowledged in their answer. But instead, they just simply affirmed, yep, that's what you had, was we threw three men in there. They didn't say anything about the fourth man. And you see, it was the king who says, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I think that so often we tell this story because from the king's perspective, because that's really the way it's written to us in Scripture. But I want to take a moment this evening, and I want us to look at it from the perspective of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right? Here they are. They're being obedient to God's word. They're not backing down from their faith. They're standing firm. They refuse to bow, and they believe fervently in the deliverance of God, that there are that they're going to be delivered. And they told the king so. Said, God can deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, he can and he will deliver us from you. In other words, if he doesn't spare us from the fire, the death from the fire is going to get us escaped from you. So either way, it's a win-win. Live or die, we're going to win because we're not going to be under your control anymore, Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, that's the way we need to be with the devil, isn't it? When he comes at us, hey, live or die, I'm serving God. I'm going to be okay because I'm going to get to leave this crazy place and go to a great place, you know. And so that's kind of what they were saying. They put their faith to the test, and they are cast into the fire. And in that moment, when they fully expected to die, instead, they're alive. Their bonds are that were holding them are gone. That's the only thing that the fire did to them was burn off the bondage that they had. And so they were able to walk around in the fire and not being burned. And the Bible never says that these three Hebrew boys saw the fourth man in the fire. Now, this is the part I've never seen before. I never thought about it. I always just thought, well, if the king saw them, then they probably saw them. But let's take a look at it and think about it. You know, there's nothing in the scripture, not even later on. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say anything different than I saw four. His men that looked in there, they didn't say that they seen four. They said, yeah, we just threw three in there. And so I think that it's pretty miraculous for the three Hebrew boys that God, he honored their faith and he delivered them in this time. But not in the way that they thought that he was going to do it. They thought that either God won't put us into the fire, you know. So here's the two things that they thought. They thought somehow we're going to either avoid the fire or the fire is just going to take our lives and we don't have to worry about it because God's got us. But their faith never wavered. But then the third option happened. The one where they went into the fire, but they weren't killed by it. They thought if we went into the fire, we're going to be killed. But this was not an option that was on their radar at that time. But yet here they are, they're in the fire and they're not being consumed by it. I don't think that the three Hebrew boys ever saw the fourth man in that fire. They were walking by faith and they were trusting God. That's pretty powerful. And God was working a miracle of deliverance for them, but their faith wasn't dependent on what they seen with their eyes. Their faith was already in God. They didn't have to see God to have that faith. And sometimes you and I, that's what we want. God, if I could just see your hand moving. God, if you'd just do this and I could see this, I'd believe. But they didn't have to. And yet the thing that I think is really cool is that he didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace. He delivered them in the fiery furnace. And I believe that they were thanking him for his deliverance while they were in there. Have you ever considered that? You see, God inhabits the praises of his people. They are in there and they're not being burned up. And I can only imagine they were thanking God. Oh, thank God. The bondage is gone and there's flames all around me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure that they were worshiping him. And the scripture's plain. And I know this scripture is it's a New Testament scripture, but I believe that it applies even here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Amen? Listen to me. No matter what you're going through in life, keep walking by faith. When you can't see him in the middle of your situation, I think that it's important for us to go ahead and just keep our faith and to worship the Lord. In fact, if we learn anything from the three Hebrew boys, is it may be hard right now to see him. You may look around and you may feel like you're all alone in your situation, in your problem, in your life, in your marriage, at your home, whatever. But I want to encourage you today to keep your head up and trust in the knowledge that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never abandon you and that you're not alone in this. We go through life so many times feeling alone because we don't see Jesus. Even when you can't see him, I want you to know he's working a miracle of deliverance. It was the king who called them out of the fire in the response to what he saw there, right? The king is the one that rescued them, said, hey, come out of the fire. Get them out of there. Because he saw their faithfulness. And God put him on put himself on display through their lives whenever he was in that fire. I just believe that we are where we are because God has a greater promise for us, right? He has a greater purpose for us. And I believe that he wants to put himself on display in our lives just like he did on their life. You see, even when you can't see him, if you trust him, the fact is that sometimes God is going to put us in the fire. He's going to let you go through the fire, maybe just so that someone else can see him with us in there. Think about that one for a minute. You see, he's working all things together for good. And just because you can't see him in your situation, I want you to always remember, it doesn't mean that others can't see him in your life. And can I tell you, that might just be the reason you are where you are. It's so that your faith can hold on to the hand of God. And he can deliver you, and he will come in, and he will walk beside you, no matter what situation you're in, so that someone else might see Jesus working on your behalf and encourage them so that they can hang on to this same faith that you and I can have. But here's the problem. We get into our situation, we find ourselves there, and instead of having the courage like the three Hebrew boys, we say, I just don't know. I just don't know. And we spend so much time doubting and maneuvering and trying to fix the thing on ourselves instead of just saying, God, I know you're in control. I know you love me, that you're doing everything for my good. So, God, I'm going to hold on to your hand. And if you want me in the fire so that you can be seen, God, put me in the fire so that you can be seen. But has anybody prayed that prayer? I'm not sure I have. I thought about it today. I thought, man, I know I've asked God to do some crazy things. I know I've asked for some pretty tough things, but I've never asked him to do that. I've never had the courage to say, God, even though I'm going through this, maybe it's for someone else. Sometimes we just think about ourselves, don't we? We think about it's all between me and God, me and God. Sometimes God's saying, hey, I need to put you in that fire. I need to let you go through this so that those that are around you and those that know you, that see you, and you say on my job, hey, I love the Lord. I go to church. I go to Grace Point Church down there. You know, you ought to come with me sometime. And then the next thing you know, you're into a situation at work and things get bad maybe we don't want them to see the way we're acting, the things we're saying, the things we're doing, you see. But we need to, when we get ourselves in those situations, we need to say, God, I know that it's okay that I go through this because I know you're going to go with me. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. You're here with me. I want you to stand with me if you will. And I've been leaving time for prayer. I just want you to know I've been praying and seeking the Lord and asking him, God, what direction do you want our church to go? What is it that you want Grace Point to do right now? And I believe with all my heart, I hear him say, I want you to call to prayer. And so I'm saving room right here. We got 15 minutes or so that we can come down. And I want you to come down, or I want you to pray where you're at. You can come down however you feel. But this is the thought that I want you to have today. God, is this why I'm where I'm at? Is this why I'm walking through this? Is this why my life doesn't seem to be getting any better? Is this why I haven't received my healing yet? Because you're going to do it eventually. If I keep my faith, if I trust your promises, if I trust you and I hold onto your hand, are you going to show up and show out so somebody around me can see it? I want you to ask yourself that because you know what? If that's the case, I'm willing to walk through it. If I know it's going to help someone else come to Christ, see the power of God, and know his miraculous power and his saving grace, I'm willing to walk through that. But if it's just for me to go through the fire and come out the other side, man, I don't know that I'm so willing to do that, huh? I don't know that if I'm just trying to get through that, it doesn't encourage me. But I want to encourage you tonight. Someone is watching. Someone sees you. They know that you've proclaimed to be a Christian on the job or in your home or at wherever you go. and they're watching you. And maybe, just maybe, you're going through what you're going through. You're facing what you're facing so that God can show up and show out, and those people can see him working in you and through you and around you, and it'll encourage them to give their heart to the Lord as well. It'll encourage them to say, you know what? If they can go through the fire and come out unscathed, and God says he's taken me through it, I can do it too. And so it's an encouragement tonight. I want to encourage you to hang on to his hand, hold on to his promises. No matter where you're at, what you're going through, he's there with you, just like he was the three Hebrew boys. If you'll hold on to your faith and your promises, I can tell you, God is going to deliver you just like he did the children of Israel from the Egyptian bondage, just like he did these three Hebrew boys, just like he did Daniel in the lion's den. So many stories of deliverance in the Bible. And sometimes that's one of the hardest things that we face. We think, oh, man, I'm going through it. I'm having things hitting me left and right and upside down and backwards, and I can't see God anywhere. Can I tell you, you may not see him, but he's there. He's there. And let's pray. I want you to pray. I don't know what you're facing. If you need prayer tonight, if you're facing something and you need somebody to gather with you, remember the scripture I quoted in there, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. If you feel like you're in the fiery furnace tonight, you're just going through it, and you think, my goodness, I need somebody to be here with me so that Jesus can be in the midst of my problem, I want you to find either me or somebody else. We'll pray with you, and we'll stand in agreement with you that God's going to not only just deliver you from that fiery furnace, but he's going to let it be seen by somebody that needs to be encouraged. Amen. Let us pray. If you'll play some soft music for us, Randy. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word of encouragement tonight. God, to know that not only are you with us out here, but God, you're with us when we're in the fire. You're with us in the middle of our problems, our situations, those things that weigh us down day in and day out. And God, I pray that our life would be a reflection of you. God, that we would, in the middle of our troubles, our trials, our situations, God, that we would hold on to your promises. Lord, your promises are yes and amen. There's no wondering if your promises are going to come true. Father, your promises are true and absolute. And so, Father, I pray that you would encourage someone tonight, someone that is walking through the fire, someone that says, you know, Pastor Jack, I'm about to give up. I'm about to just give in. I can't see God anywhere. I can't see his hand moving. Father, I want you to encourage them tonight through this story, Father, that you are there with them, that you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them, that you're going to get them to the other side, just like you did whenever Moses, you had him part the water and they walked across to the other side. Father, Lord, you didn't just get them all the way across. God, you destroyed the enemy that was chasing them. Lord, you made a way where there seemed to be no way. And Father, so many times we find ourselves feeling that way. We feel so helpless within ourselves. We know that we can't do it without you. But God, somehow, some way, we get discouraged and we let go of your hand. And we think that, well, this is it. I guess I'm just going to die in the middle of this storm. But God, I pray that you'd encourage us tonight to let us know that if we'll hold on to your promises, if we'll hold on to your hand through every storm, every situation, every fiery furnace that you put us in, God, if we'll do those promises, that you'll be right there with us. And Father, I pray that you'd just open up the eyes of the people around us so they can see you standing beside us in that fiery furnace, in that situation we're in. God, I pray right now that you'd just speak to our hearts today. And Father, whatever fear we have, I pray you'd turn it into faith right now. Lord, that you would take that fear away and you'd replace it with faith. Father, your word says if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can say to a mountain, be removed. Father, we know that that's true. And Lord, like so many others, God, I've thought to myself so many times that when we have that small faith and we say, mountain, be removed, that you're just going to move it right away. But God, sometimes you're in the background moving it one rock at a time. You're moving it out. You're changing things. You're making a way where there seems to be no way. And God, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that just needs to be encouraged, that you would speak into their heart and into their life right now. You would give them the encouragement that they need to wake up in the morning knowing that they're not in the fiery furnace by themselves, but God, that you'll go with them. You're going to be before them and with them and after them everywhere they go. And God, I just pray that you would get the glory and the honor out of every situation you're going to deliver us from. Father, that those around us would see you were the one that delivered us. You are the one that was in there with us. And God, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you don't let us walk alone. You're right there with us. And God, I thank you for that. I pray for your word to encourage us today. Lord, that I lift up each and every person in this room. I don't know what they're facing. I don't know what their tomorrow is going to be. You do. You hold tomorrow in your hand. And God, I just ask that you would just lift us, encourage us, and help us to take our next step and not be frozen in fear. God, help us to keep walking right with you, following you everywhere you lead us, doing whatever it is you're calling us to do, knowing that no matter what happens, you're right there with us. God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to face the things we got to face tomorrow, Father. Someone in this place needs an encounter with you tonight so that you, God, get the glory. You get the honor. Father, we praise you. I worship you, Jesus. I just lift up your name. Lord, I just worship you. I want to just take some moment and just worship you because you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the one that can walk with us in the fire. You're the one that can do the miracles that we need in our life. You're the only one that can straighten out our path. You're the only one, Father, that we need. And I worship you tonight. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy that was new this morning and new every morning. I thank you for your amazing grace. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. I thank you for the healing in our bodies. I thank you for the spiritual outpouring that you pour on us with your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us every day. I thank you for your presence in our life. God, without your presence, we're so alone. But God, with you, we can go through any situation, anything that we can go through. God, if you're there with us, we'll make it. Pray, Father, Lord, that you would just be blessed tonight by our worship. Lord, that you would hear our cries tonight, knowing that we need you in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I praise the holy name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Move upon your people. We need you. We need you. In this godless world we live in, we need you. Each and every day, every moment of every day, we need you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your sweet presence here tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because it's in your presence that we can be set free. It's in your presence that we're healed. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence here tonight. Move upon your people. Lord, we praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. you just never cease to amaze me. I thank you, Lord. I don't know if this has encouraged anybody, but it has encouraged me, God. I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm thankful. Lord, you have us in the palm of your hand. If you're here tonight and you're saying, Pastor Tech, I'm this close to giving up. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I just don't know if I can do it anymore. Father, don't let anybody give up. Let them know that you're right there with them. I pray that they would hear you tonight. They would hear your voice saying, don't give up. I'm right here with you. I'm taking you through the fire so that someone else can see, so that someone else can be encouraged. Father, I just thank you tonight. Oh God, I praise you. I worship you. Don't let them give up. Speak to them tonight, Lord. Give them encouragement. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you for your presence tonight, Lord God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do what he needs to do. Hallelujah, Lord. We just praise you today.